rest of the story. Frank never told anyone what the fortune teller he visited so frequently had told him, and yet whatever it was, the old woman in the tattered shawl divined from her tattered cards and tea leaves, it must not have been a warning, because Frank, a sophomore at Bowdoin College in Brunswick, Maine, remained restless and reckless. And with the tenacity of a master helmsman, he stayed his collision course with academic disaster. Of course, the fortune teller was only one among myriad diversions with which Frank replaced his college lectures and assignments and studies. There was a tavern in town, for example, technically off-limits to Bowdoin students, and yet intriguing enough to risk censure or expulsion as far as Frank was concerned. There were relatively wholesome distractions as well, if any may be described as such, which diminishes one's prospects for a decent education. Since Bowdoin was surrounded by forest, Frank took every opportunity to explore the area to hunt or fish or swim or pick blueberries or simply to wander, happily daydreaming, through the lush New England woodland. And then, as one wiser or better educated might have predicted, carefree Frank woke up one day at the beginning of his junior year to discover the student body standings had been posted, and Frank was at the very bottom of his class. Angry and humiliated, the young man went to his room, closed the door, refused to emerge. For days, nobody saw him. He would probably soon return home in disgrace, classmates and faculty anticipated. But this is the rest of the story. Frank had a couple of unlikely friends at Bowdoin. One was a quiet, serious-minded fellow named Nathaniel. The other was a deeply religious student named Zenas. Neither had much in common with Frank, but both, for some indefinable reasons, just plain liked him. It was those two boys alone who unobtrusively, intellectually, and spiritually rode to Frank's rescue. Nathaniel, ever compassionate, was first to approach Frank with soft, strong words of encouragement. Frank had much to offer, Nathaniel insisted, but he would never have a chance if he now turned and ran. Meanwhile, Zenas prayed for Frank. And when he was through praying, he appointed his errant friend chapel monitor in order to reacquaint him with daily responsibility. And thus encouraged and thus disciplined by those two friends, did Frank begin attending classes regularly, studying in earnest. And what do you know? By graduation time in the summer of 1824, Frank stood proudly at long last third in his class. And rightly so, the postgraduate accomplishments of Frank's academic redeemers are celebrated in the annals of Americana. Zenas Caldwell, for example, became a famous, influential, powerful preacher of the Methodist Church, and the other would leave an indelible mark on his nation's literature with such poignant masterpieces as The Scarlet Letter. You know him as Nathaniel Hawthorne. Yet the world has little noted, indeed has barely remembered, the first major contribution made by these giants, the mending of the ways of an aimless friend in whom Caldwell and Hawthorne saw something promising, a young devotee of taverns and fortune tellers, an idle-minded woodland wanderer pulled back from the brink of oblivion, a ne'er-do-well college student named Franklin Pierce, who in 1853 became the 14th president of the United States. And now you know the rest of the story.